Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day, and we talked about the mafia who tried to kill the priest. Yes, because the priest did not agree with the works of the mafia, and he, as they say, bravely denounces organized crime. The mafia wasn't having it. And as he was in his mass on a Saturday, he went to drink the wine and come to find out that there was bleach in his water and wine containers. Yes, and we talked about the fact that, you know, not only is there not any respect for the church, but from the mob, there pretty much is no respect for God. So since they've never really held, you know, life, you know, in any level of importance, then why would they treat the priest any different? So, you know, it just goes to show the deterioration of this world, because we know the mafia is the mafia. We know that. We know that they could kill a person in a heartbeat. But yo, you know, when they get, you know, it's one thing, because see, when people kill, they never look at it as though they're doing something against God. That's just not the average thought. So, you know, you kind of gauge how they feel about God and the church when you talk about them and the church. And with this here, this really shows that there is no respect for God or the church. Yeah. Or God's people. Well, we also talked about the two cousins, 10 and 12, who have been charged with beating their little 3-year-old cousin. And she died, as well as beating a 4-year-old little girl. And just the negligence of the parents who knew that these boys had been accused of beating the younger children and being violent toward the younger children in the family before, but yet they still left the children, the younger children, in the care of these two older children while they went out to gamble. Yeah. Yeah, so again, we see the level of importance of life is low on the totem pole. Well, here was the interesting story of the morning, the topic that took us into our church folk segment. We talked about the teacher who took one child's, let me take it from the other end. We talked about the little boy whose parent had spent about $80 to ensure he had enough stuff to, you know, throw out during the parade. And the teacher took his stuff and made him share it with a little girl who initially had her own things, but threw all her stuff out immediately. And when she took the little boy's stuff and made him share it, the little girl threw out all of his stuff too, all at one time. And mom was really upset because she felt she had spent money on her child to ensure that he would have everything he needed for the duration of the parade. So we got to talking about this decision that the teacher made. And you know how this was just not right. It wasn't right. It's not up to you. You know, if you were all that concerned, she should have brought her own extra just in case some child either didn't have or did not have enough. And then we kind of veered into the fact that, you know, normally these teachers take the entire supply of notebooks and pencils and school supplies that all of the children are required to bring in and kind of throw them in a kitty and distribute them at will for those who ultimately don't have. And you know how we felt about that, and none of us agreed with that except for Pastor Jeff, who said, you know, it didn't bother him. He just, you know, when it was time for his daughter to get more supplies, he would just buy them. Well, we turned that into a church folk segment where the question was, how does this affect the church, this behavior, this mindset? And, whoa, it became an extremely interesting conversation when, you know, the pastors brought up, you know, how the parishioners will, you know, continually come back to the church to settle their personal affairs, and how you don't mind helping once, maybe twice, but on a continual basis, this is not acceptable. And it is our responsibility to educate them, you know, that they have to, you know, kind of lay out their expenses so that we can help you put a plan into effect. You know, we have to be good stewards over our money. And listen, just simply put, most people don't budget properly. Most people have stepped into worlds where they cannot afford, and now their entire financial situation is in a tizzy. And by the time they get to you, it's really in some level of turmoil. So unfortunately, you got to kind of take a step back and help them moving forward. And, you know, we have to admit that some people don't want to be quote-unquote educated. They don't want to be, you know, quote-unquote told what to do. And sometimes you're going to have to let them kind of step out on their own if that's the situation. So it was a really interesting conversation. And, you know, we pray that God's people, you know, we can't speak for the people who live reckless lives altogether, but including them in our prayer as well, but especially for the people of God, that we make better financial decisions, that we are better stewards over our money, that we do take the help when it's offered, you know, because the church people are very prideful, you know. And they don't want to listen and hear, and, you know, they don't agree that they need to be, you know, instructed. But they're in a tizzy, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their work, whether it's their relationship with their siblings or parents or just other people, whether it's financial, you know, it just doesn't matter. Church people tend to be, and let's put it church folk, tend to be real prideful, and they don't want anyone to say anything, even the pastor. Yes, even the pastor. You know, you have the sermon coming out, you know, from the pulpit, and they all twist it. You know, you're talking about me, and every time, you know, I turn around, you talking about me, and yeah, they are really, church folk are really weird. I got to tell you, for them to supposedly know the Lord, church people can be real weird, in my opinion, sometimes. So, you know, Pastor Jeff, Pastor KL, and Shantice gave some really good advice yesterday as to, you know, what we need to do to go forward. And we pray that everybody just kind of falls in line, because God says, listen, I don't want anyone to perish. Now, we know that God is talking ultimately about perishing, you know, when we have this second go-round here. You're either going to, you know, be welcomed into the kingdom, or either you will be condemned to hell. So we know that's what he's talking about. But don't forget that God wants us to live peacefully here. Now, it doesn't mean that all things will go, you know, hunky-dory and well, and everybody to be smiling 24/7. Doesn't mean that. But it does mean that he has a prescription. He has a prescription for us. And the prescription is actually laid out in the Word of God. All we have to do is follow it. And I use the word prescription because that's the easiest way for all of you to connect with what I'm saying. When the doctor gives you a prescription and you want to get well, what will you do? You will follow the prescribed method of taking the medication. They give you the information on the bottle. They not only give you the information on the bottle, but when you get your bag of medicine, they even have a printout of all the the side effects, and you know what that medication is used for, so forth and so on. And you know what? You take it in order to get better. If you got an infection, they tell you, make sure you take these antibiotics, and you've got to finish this entire bottle. Don't stop at day 3 or 4 because you feel better. You need to take it for the duration, because we need to kill this infection. And in order to kill this infection, you've got to make sure you take this medicine for 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. If you stop short, you will not be healed. Well, that's the way it goes with God's word. If you don't follow the prescription and you don't take it for 7, 10, or 14 days in order to kill the infection, you will not be healed. So that's the way church folk need to look at the word that's given to them from the people of God who have been given the word to give to them. How is it that we take the doctor's word for everything he or she says, but when it comes to the pastor, we go to church, we decide we're going to sit in this church, but yet we don't want to hear what this pastor has to say? It is an amazing thing to me, and my head has got like a million question marks over this, but we will swear, and I say that word very loosely. We will swear by the word of the doctor. This is why church folk ain't healed, because we will take the doctor's word over God's word. So, listen, they gave some excellent advice yesterday. My advice is to take it. Now you got three for three. Said the same thing. Take the advice so that we can be healed, because that should be your ultimate goal, healing. I know that's what I go to the Lord for. I go to the Lord so he can heal Stephanie. I do not take Dr. Satterfield's advice, but I don't take the Lord's advice. I got to take them both, because God sent Dr. Satterfield to me. So I'm going to trust God in my physical healing, and I'm going to trust God for my spiritual healing. So come on, come on, come on. Let's get this going. Let's make up our minds to do this right so we can be healed. So whoo, that's what we talked about on Tuesday. So let's talk about it Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Woo, it was alarming. Well, today is Wow Wednesday, everybody. Look at God. As Serge would say, won't he do it? Yes, we are here in the middle of the week. God has given us a Wow Wednesday instead of a hump day. Yeah. Everybody else trying to figure out how they're going to get over this day, how they're going to get through this day, how they're going to make it to the other side of the week. Well, God has already answered that question for us. So we about to get this party started. Go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back. God spares.
Slavery is wrong. You know it. We know it. We've officially known it since 1863. But here's something you might not know. We thought slavery was a thing of the past, but we haven't been paying attention. Today, there are more than 27 million slaves in the world. That's more of the people enslaved today than the entire African slave trade. Men, women, and children held captive and used for labor, trade, and sex. 200,000 of them right here in America. This isn't a foreign problem. These 27 million people have gone unnoticed for far too long. So what can we do? You have a voice, and we can fight this. Tweet it, Instagram it, Facebook it, hashtag End It Movement. Because together, we are a force for good.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yeah. Thanks be to God. We have been ushered into the middle of the week. And he's given us so much. In the past 2 days, we have been loaded. I don't know about you, but I give God thanks for his due time. What a way to start your morning. What a way to start the morning. And like I always say, you know, while other people are trying to figure out how they're going to get through this day, it's the middle of the week, blah, 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 we give God thanks because he has definitely, definitely given us an opportunity to be ushered and awakened into this day. And we're going to enjoy it. We're going to enjoy it. So we're going to say good morning to our girl Vivian so we can get our socially conscious segment underway. So good morning, Viv. Uh-oh, I'm saying good morning, Vivian, and didn't turn on her microphone. Where we are. Oh, there we go, there we go, there we go. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So that PSA, what type of slaves was she talking about? I missed the last ending.
You know, it's an interesting PSA, I got to tell you. And I'm glad somebody did ask, because it's very interesting that, you know, it's Black History Month. And, you know, normally we salute, you know, the inventors who are African-American. We talk about Black slavery and things like that. Well, they've now turned this thing around to include those who have been sexually trafficked, if you will. And that's what they were talking about. And I started not to include it in this month. But you know what? I was like, well, you know what? There is some gradation to what slavery has become to, let's say, this generation, this world. So that's what, you know, she's talking about, the fact that there are more people who have been sex trafficked than there were ever slaves back in the day. So, you know what? I said, I'm not going to be the one who smashes that, you know, yeah. Yeah, very interesting concept, Vivian. Very interesting concept.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At first, I thought she was talking about prison. That's what my mind
was.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
I was like, she's talking a little too calm. And she don't sound like someone outside of the fence to be talking about the prison system. But that definitely is a very interesting PSA. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very interesting. And there are a few. That's not the only one. There are a few out there. If you go on the internet, this is really the mentality that this, like I said, this generation at this time, the world is really picking up that, you know, we're not only talking about Black slaves. We're talking about now the slavery is something else. And they also talk about, because somebody else, they actually said, thank you, Viv. People were questioning it also. They also were saying that slave labor, you know, those who are paid 2 cents an hour and things like that, or people who are forced to work in other countries for no money, they're also talking about that level of slavery as well. So, yeah. It's graduated according to this world.
Wow.
So, what you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off with some migrant stories. Reports say an on-site building inspected in Queens led to the discovery of 87 people living in a basement on Monday. According to law enforcement sources, the FDNY responded to the building due to a complaint about e-bikes in the backyard. Officials said on Tuesday that's when around 40 beds were discovered on the ground floor and in the cellar, according to the FDNY. So Ibu Sar, who owns the furniture business that is located in the building, said he was charging migrants $300 a month to live there and that he was providing them with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sar said that there were two bathrooms available in the building, but he also gave out memberships to Planet Fitness so they could shower there. One of the migrants who was living there said the shower situation at the business was better than at the shelters. Saar also said he's looking at commercial properties to help them find a place to live. The city is saying that they have no place for these people, says Saar, and it is not true. Saar, who is 47 years old, came to New York City from Senegal 30 years ago, said he thought he was helping the 87 Senegalese migrants who were living in his business because he remembers how hard it was living in shelters and on the subways when he first came to the United States. So he is claiming that he was trying to help the migrants. They're not really confirming whether or not every single person that was living there was a migrant or exactly where they came from, but 87 people, 40 beds, living in the basement of a furniture business. Next, we have another story of migrants wilding. The news reports say that a scuffle with a security guard landed three men living at Randall's Island Migrant Shelter in cuffs Monday evening, according to the NYPD. Three men ages 23, 22, and 30 got into an argument with a security guard at about 7:15 p.m., on Monday, at which point the 23-year-old migrant punched the guard in the face, according to the police. As the 23-year-old was being put into custody, a second man stepped in and interfered with the arrest, landing him in cuffs as well. And then a third man then got involved and ended up in cuffs as well. Police said Mayor Eric Adams had this to say about the incident. He said, quote, "I want to take a trip over to Randall's and have a conversation with the people who are there and remind them that there's a privilege to be in this country and it's unacceptable to disrespect uniformed personnel," end quote. And they say this is not the first moment of tension at this particular shelter. A similar incident on Randall's Island was caught on video on February 15th. Police said a man was found arguing with security as onlookers yelled and objects were thrown at the police officers. Adams said that the city will install metal detectors at this particular shelter on Tuesday. Next, we have Wendy's, the fast food chain, in the news, as they say they are looking to test having prices of its menu items fluctuate throughout the day based on demand. They are planning on implementing a strategy that has already taken place with ride-sharing companies, ticket sellers, and tolls. So during a conference call earlier this month, Wendy's CEO Kirk Tanner said that the burger chain will start testing dynamic pricing, also known as surge pricing, as early as next year. They also went into detail about all this money they are spending. For example, they're putting $20 million into launching digital menu boards at all of the United States company-run restaurants by the end of 2025. It also plans to invest approximately $10 million over the next 2 years to support enhancements globally. And all I can hear is surge pricing. Next, we are out in schools of New Mexico as a lawsuit claims a New Mexico teacher brought swords to school to have students fight one another in the classroom. It claims the fights were caught on camera, and now the family of a student who was injured by one of the swords is suing. They say on May 2nd of 2022, the teacher, who has not been identified as of yet, came to school where he was, where she was supposed to be teaching chemistry, and gave the children swords and told them to fight. According to an incident report, the assistant principal claimed the teacher had brought the swords to discuss the science of metal and welding, but he answered no when asked if the injury violated school rules. He is also named in the lawsuit. So during the sword fight, a student got a major cut on her wrist and ended up in the emergency room. The cut severed nerves and tendons and required the student to get surgery. They say the student had permanent damage to her wrist. The school said the teacher named in the lawsuit was hired as a special education teacher in 2021 and was terminated in 2022. And today, in honor of Black History Month, we are doing something a little different, and we are honoring 17-year-old Kamora Freeland. Kamora has recently become one of the youngest African-American licensed pilots. Kamora is a senior in Kingsborough Early College High School. She has already passed her solo and cross-county flights, and has even flown her mother last summer to Martha's Vineyard. They say she started flight classes back when she was only 15 years old, and now she has made history joining the likes of Bessie Coleman, who was the first African-American woman to hold a pilot license, and is the earliest known Black person to earn an international pilot's license, doing so back in June of 1921. They say Coleman worked in the cotton fields at a young age while also studying in a small segregated school. She attended one term of college at Langston University. Coleman developed an early interest in flying, but African Americans, Native Americans, and women had no flight training opportunities in the United States at that time. So she saved and obtained sponsorships in Chicago to go to France for flight school. She then became a high-profile pilot in notoriously dangerous air shows in the United States. She was popularly known as Queen Bess and Brave Bessie, and hoped to start a school for African-American flyers. Her pioneering role was an inspiration to early pilots and to the African-American and Native American communities. So today we honor Miss Kamora Freeman, 17-year-old Kamora Freeman, who is now the youngest African-American woman to earn her pilot license, and Miss Bessie Coleman. This has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. Whoa, we're loaded here this morning. And we welcome you to the panel this morning. And we seem to be missing our Elder Nitesha, so maybe she's actually working this morning. So thank God for having a ram in the bush. No, I'm not seeing her here. So maybe she'll join us. Maybe she'll join us, because normally she'll let us know when she's not on. So we will definitely be excited to get this conversation started, as the socially conscious is power-packed. Let's say good morning to our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, girl, it's Wow Wednesday. I am doing well, thanks. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Well, girl, you getting the party started. So we're talking about these 87 people who are living in a furniture store with 40 beds in the cellar of this store, where the man is charging, the owner, charging the migrants $300 a month, providing them with three meals a day. He has two bathrooms, but gave out memberships to Planet Fitness so they can go and shower over there, and they say that the facilities at Planet Fitness is better than at the furniture store. But, you know, he says he understands and can identify with the fact that these people are homeless, what they are enduring right now. So this is how he feels he can begin to help those who are in this situation. What's your thought?
You know, when you look at it, depending on what side of the coin you can be on, you can view it different ways, you know. And I get his heart, you know, trying to look out for people. But you have not done the measures that are necessary. If that's something that you want to do, then you do it. You know, you close down your furniture store. You get the proper documents. You go, you know, you go through the proper procedures, you know. In actuality, what you have is an illegal edifice, and you're charging people, you know, who gave you the right to do that, you know? And I get, you know, so I understand his heart, you know, you're trying to look out for people. But if that's what you're trying to do, then rearrange your business so that you have the proper channels, that you've done the right thing, so that now you don't get repercussions. Because from what I'm hearing, you know, now there are fines and all other types of things that he's going to get because he was trying to help. You know, you just can't do that. You know, and I get that you went through what you went through, but you have to do things the right way in order to proceed and help other people.
Okay, okay. Thank you for joining us this morning. Shantice, we're talking about the fact that had it not been for all the e-bikes in the backyard, maybe they would not have been flagged. Shantice, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lady Tamika, Pastor Steph, Vivian.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. What's your take on this prevalent move?
Well, as soon as Vivian started talking about it, immediately I just associated with the smell. I'm like, 87 people in a basement. Oh, my goodness. How does that smell down there? How many dead bodies are there now because they passed out? That, thank God for the carelessness of leaving the things outside that caught the neighbor's attention, because it possibly could have been populated even more, as scary as that is. Because it sounds like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to help out because I know the struggle, but yet you're charging. So how much of the struggle do you really know? And I understand that, you know, in order to help, even if you're not charging to necessarily make a profit, you're charging so that, you know, you can provide what you feel you want to be able to provide. But you know that they don't have any resources. It's not like, you know, you're from here, you're dealing with people from here, people who work. So you're saying, okay, I'm not going to charge you rent, but I will charge you $400. You know, to stay here a month, and that will at least help to keep the house afloat, because if you don't pay these bills, none of us will be living here. So it's like, how much of the struggle do you really know, and you're charging these migrants who don't have?
Okay. Vivian, what's your thought on this situation here?
First, I need to clarify. The migrant said that the shower situation at the business was better than at the shelter. So he's saying sharing two bathrooms with 87 people was better than what he experienced living in the migrant shelters that the city was giving.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my thought is maybe this might have started off as a way of helping, but I just think that that was just a way for this man to make some money, because 87 people with 40 beds in a basement and you're charging them $300, that's a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I don't think they thought of this business opportunity that they would be opening if they brought all these people into this country. Because this is not the first. We heard about the church who probably wasn't charging them but was actually doing something out of the kindness of his heart. But now you have this man who is now charging migrants to stay in his basement sleeping on beds. And he did not shut down his business. He was still running the business, and they had the beds that he was selling, like, you know, the storage, and also the beds that they were sleeping on, possibly the same bed. Who knows? So I'm not seeing this as some gesture of kindness. I saw this as a business opportunity that this man came up with, and now that he done got caught, he's going to talk badly about, you know, what's going on in the migrant situation and how they're not helping them and how they could be and how he's, you know, picking up the slack. But I don't see it as that when you're charging $300 to a bunch of people who ain't got no job.
Excuse me, my head went there. My head went to, okay, you know what, in the beginning, I think Vivian just said it, in the beginning, you know, he was like, oh, man, I know how it feels. I know what it was like when I got here, and I understand the struggle. And then the wheel started turning. In your head as to how you could monopolize on what they're doing. And I'm trying to figure out, like the ladies, how have you equated all of this to figuring that they can afford $300 a month, which is why all the e-bikes were sitting in the backyard, because this is their way of making money. And if we know anything about people from these countries, they're hustlers. They don't make the money. And if this man was charging $300, they were not going to complain. You know, remember now, the whole premise is America has what they don't. They're supposedly coming into a better situation than they are coming out of. So 87 people and 40 beds might be real good, you know, in their eyes. So now you already know this because you're from a foreign country. You know what it's like to live in these conditions. And now you're going to charge these people $300 a month. So let's say 40 people. Where am I calculate at? At 40, I'm going to do the math on this one. Where am I calculating? Here we go. We got 40 times 300. If only 40 of them were paying the $300 a month, that's $12,000 a month. Move over. Y'all in here, move over, because I think I didn't just figure it out. How the mortgage going to get paid, how I'm going to travel during the year, how I'm going to help the rest of the, you know, the city. Yo, this is money. So, yeah, he may have started with the awe, but he ain't stayed there that long. When he started pulling up that calculator like I just did. So, nah, this here was a way you could make money and monopolize. And as Vivian said, he didn't close down the restaurant. And, boy, she read my mind, because the first thing I said is, Lord, are they sleeping on the furniture he's selling? This is such a scary thought. Yes.
Here's another thing. Here's another dynamic as I was thinking. I used to work at a furniture store. And what you don't know, you know, when you purchase an item, it's already purchased. But there is a process, especially if you're getting an item or if you're making the item. There are fumes that transpire in that building that there are times when it's inhabitable. You know, so we're talking about people living in the basement of a furniture store. You know, you first of all, when you've got that many people in a small place, that's one thing with air quality and that type of thing. And on top of that, you have fumes that are above their head. You know, so most likely we're not even, you know, I haven't even visited the place, but I know because I worked at a furniture store that there are times that it's uninhabitable. And you've got people living in this place. Yeah, that's definitely a moneymaker for you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. He counted the cost, but he did. So he should have buku money to pay fines. Oh, he should not be at a loss for paying any fines that have been imposed on him. So, you know, now you've got 87 people trying to figure out where they're gonna live. Because see, for them, this is good. They gonna hustle to get that 300 up. So, wow. This is interesting. Well, I did read this story of the migrants, 23, 22, and 30, who got into that scuffle with the security guard and, you know, punched him in the face and all of this kind of stuff. Now, the part I want to kind of zoom to is when Mayor Eric Adams, says that he wants to take a trip to this facility to remind them that it's a privilege to be here and it's disrespectful to go against anyone in a uniform. And now he's going to install metal detectors in these shelters. Shantese, you got first leg on this one.
He always wanted to take a trip somewhere. For what? To do what? First of all, it's really hard for you to be that convincing when you're the reason why they're here. And then now you're going there, and instead of, okay, so you're going there to talk to them instead of doing some type of scared straight program and sending them back. How effective do you think this lecture is going to be? I was on the bus yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Like, Lord, please bless me with a car. I was on the bus yesterday, and the bus was packed. Like, I was pretty much sitting on the bus driver's lap. That's how packed this bus was. And all the way in the back, there was this commotion going on. I don't know how it started, what it was about, but you can tell it was a bunch of young kids and a foreigner, a guy. And out of nowhere, one of the ladies who was standing next to me, because she was told us she could see, she's like, they're beating him up. She's trying to tell the bus driver, like, they're beating him up on this bus. And they beat him up and hopped off the bus and just kept on walking, whatever. What are you going to do? Why? It's like there's nothing really put in effect for what these people are doing. So now you want to take a trip, but this is another reason for you to bypass being in the office and putting any real things into effect to now go there and say what? We need to have a meeting. We need to be a part of writing your speech or whatever you're going to say. Like, what are you going to do? Because they're bold. This is officially a part of their agenda.
Okay. Okay. Vivian, he wants to take a trip to the, you know, migrant shelters and remind them that, you know, it's a privilege to be here, that, you know, it's disrespectful to behave in the manner in which they're behaving, and he wants to install metal detectors. What say you?
I don't know if they're going to see it as with the way that they came out here now. They're forced to be on these e-bikes, delivering whatever, living on the subway system, sleeping on the street, being kicked out of shelters every 30 and 60 days. I don't see the privilege. I'm not seeing the privilege, and I don't think they will see it either. And then I thought about how you just added to the problem of crime that we already had before they even got here. We already talked about the guns and how easily accessible they are, and now we have to install metal detectors in the shelters for the migrants and fear that they're bringing weapons in to harm workers or to harm one another. And it's just, like, they don't care at all to where they're attacking the police officers who is coming on the scene to, you know, handle any situations that's going on in the shelter. That this is not the first incident. That has gotten so bad that now we have to put up metal detectors in the shelter. Like, you're just adding to all these problems we already had. And we didn't hear that you visited this place and that place and had a speech and had a dream. And it ain't done nothing. So what is this trip going to do? I'm not seeing the point.
Mm-mm. All right, Lady Tamika.
Sir Mayor, you have to understand, first of all, these people don't know you. They could care less, you know, especially considering the fact that they have this pie-in-the-sky mentality that they were going to get this and they were going to get that. And you, sir, promised them that, you know. So now you come in there, come into their face, saying something, doesn't have any value, you know. And you're going to need all the guards that you possibly can. We've already seen evidence. You know, and we're not saying that it's every migrant, but we have already seen evidence of chaos because of that. So, you know, my thing is, go ahead. Go out there and go unguarded. Go by yourself, because you're going to get a whole calamity worse than what you can ever fathom. You know, so we already know that when he does go out there, he's going to have all the guards and all the security and all the police officers that he possibly can have. But you, sir, are the reason why this is going about. So you coming there now to speak to them, I don't see it having any value. It really can't. This can't be a good thing.
All right. So you want to go there and talk. I agree with the ladies. They're not listening. They have already come over here who they are. If they were going to correct their behavior, it would have already taken place, because I shouldn't have to tell you that this is a privilege for you to be here. It is a privilege for them to be here. But if they haven't seen it as a privilege, I'm going to wait till they get here, watch their behavior, and then tell them it's a privilege for them to be here. So they're already on their own agenda. They're doing whatever they're going to do. Your conversation is not going to do anything. I'm more mad at the fact that you're about to put some metal detectors up in the migrant shelters. Now, have you not spent our money already on them? So now we have to pay for metal detectors? So you feeding them, we can't eat. You're giving them health insurance, we sick and dying, and now you taking and giving, putting metal detectors inside of these shelters. Send them back, period. That would be the only conversation that would be had. I'm going to go around to each shelter so they could see my face and hear my voice directly. I ain't going to have to give you no pamphlet. I'm not going to have to pass out no flyer. There will be no more warnings. No and no now. You get into one lick of trouble, you will be on the first thing smoking back to your country. Have a nice day. That's the only thing I'm talking about when I get there. Like I said, ain't going to have to be no translated pieces of paper because that's going to spend too much money. We're going to have a translator and someone doing sign language on the other side. So just in case there's someone hard of hearing in this batch, everybody will be addressed. And I'm not saying anything else. It is too much money being spent. So now we're going to spend money to do this? No. No, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Enough is enough already. And maybe when they see the individuals on the boat, in the plane, however they're getting back to their country, then they'll wake up. But I'm surely not going to spend any more money on them, period. I'm not spending no more money on them. This is ridiculous now. This is absolutely ridiculous. When Vivian said that part, I was like, are you kidding me? No, sorry. No. A scuffle? A scuffle with anybody. I don't care if it's your brother. A scuffle? You talking too loud? You going back. That's it. Sorry. You going back. You ain't even got to worry about whether it's a person in some uniform. Anybody. If it's another bum on the street, bye. You're going. And I think that is going to send the bigger message. Since you want to keep claiming that it ain't everybody, it's not the 180,000 people in its totality, that's fine. We'll just send the 30,000 back who are the problem. And maybe everybody else will begin to toe the line. Maybe the other 20,000 who are also some troublemakers, maybe they'll toe the line as well. No. All right. Wendy's has hit the socially conscious segment, and they will begin to fluctuate their prices like they say tolls and ride-sharing companies do. They're going to start testing this surge pricing. They're spending millions of dollars on digital menus and other enhancements, and they are going to be justified, as far as they're concerned, in putting this extra dollar or five on the end of your meal. Vivian, are you still buying Wendy's?
Not during those times, and that's tragic because Wendy's is one of my favorite fast foods. I think they have one of the best fast foods. So for you to be doing this to your customers, it ain't like y'all hard on the dollar. Because if you ever went to Wendy's during lunchtime, you know, like you're on a job and you go out for lunch, y'all are not hard off for no dollar. Y'all not struggling. People are going there, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be when the surge prices are, during the lunchtime rush and during the dinner time rush. So, like, why would you do that to your customers? That seems very, like, unsympathetic. People are already struggling. For me to go spend my hard-earned money on some Wendy's takes a lot nowadays. It doesn't come easy. This money doesn't come easy, and the prices are already astronomical everywhere we go. So why would you do this to people? That's just crazy.
All right. Lady Tamika, are you still going to Wendy's?
Oh, boy. Before I go there, I want to tell you about an incident that happened. On the very few infrequent times that I go to McDonald's, I went to this particular McDonald's just to get some French fries. I love their French fries. And there was a gentleman in front of me who ordered some type of meal. I wasn't really focusing on the meal that he purchased. But the last time that he went there, the meal was $10 less. Not $10, 10 cents less. This man proceeded to hold the cashier hostage. He held a knife to her face and said he wanted his 10 cents. And, like, you know, she was like, you know, well, it's, you know, instead of her just giving him the 10 cents and trying to de-escalate the situation, she's like, sir, that's not how it is. This is, you know, there was literally a back and forth. And I'm standing towards, at this point, I'm standing to the back of the restaurant because I'm like, okay, do they need help? Do they need the police? You know, that type of thing. And everybody's scrambling around. She eventually just gave him the 10 cents. And then he said to her, see, that's what I'm talking about. Y'all just, you're trying to scam over on people. He threw the 10 cents back at her and said, see, I didn't want the 10 cents. I just wanted to prove a principle. And I'm just looking at this place like 45 minutes. You caused this chaos for that. And it just, it didn't make sense, you know, but it's just the principle of the thing. And so now you're talking about you're going to do that to, you know, to Wendy's, you know, and I'm just like, oh, you know, this is something very simple that could be avoided. We have seen many calamities where people spaz out at restaurants, you know, and so now you want to do this pricing. I'm pretty sure this is not a very good idea. And, again, you are putting the cart before the horse, not thinking about all of the repercussions that your actions could cause.
Wow. Shantice, still going to Wendy's?
Like, oh, come on. I got to boycott the strawberry lemonade now. I already don't eat from mad places. Come on, Wendy's. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't relax and sip on this lemonade knowing that you're trying to exploit us financially. You ain't no different than Gucci and Prada and Burberry and all of them. Like, come on, what are you doing? And going back off of what Vivian said, it's true. These dollar menus are not dollars anymore. So when you go to these fast food restaurants, you might as well go sit up at Red Lobster somewhere because it's expensive. There's been plenty of times we've gone through the drive-thru or something, and, you know, we order, and then they say, okay, your total is to the such, and a whole car as a choir says the same thing. It's like, we might as well have gone out and sat and paid and tipped the waiter by the time you do this. It's like you're trying to really take advantage of the people who are already investing in you, and that's what a lot of these businesses seem to forget. You're only in existence because you have people investing in you. You do not own Wendy's, and now you spend your money at your establishment, and your money is what keeps your establishment going. Hello? It's the other people. So now these same people, you're now going to tell them that the times when I know for sure you're going to come here, the times I know for sure you may not have time to really pick and choose where you eat, because what if Wendy's is the closest thing to my job and I only got a 30-minute break? I can't now, especially if you live in the city, the blocks are like 18 blocks put together is one block. I don't have time to now run four blocks over. I only got time to run one block over, but now you're charging me an extra $6 for the same size burger, and your food ain't really all right anyway. Okay, so now you're charging all of this, and then what's going to happen when, because I remember a restaurant did that once. When I was working at Cheesecake, there was a restaurant there. I can't remember the name. I don't remember if it was Macaroni Grill. It was one of those restaurants. If something happened, this was way before COVID, something happened, and they figured they could hike their prices up, right? They hiked their prices up. The prices didn't work. They put it back down. They ended up with less business than they did before. Less business than they did before because whether it's because their guests, you know, found out, okay, you're taking advantage and you're hiking the prices up, and now that you see that, even without us planning this, the majority said, we're not paying that, therefore we're not patronizing you. Now you call yourself, okay, we're going to go back down. Now you get to Nathan, because now you ended up with less guests than you had before you raised the prices. So they ended up messing themselves up.
And I could very well see this happening. Just because you're well known and you've been around for years does not mean you will always be relevant. So I say keep your strawberry lemonade at the $5 it is, because I still think that's expensive already. But overpaying it, because that is good. Despite me not feeling like the food is good, that's still been lemonade. Some days I'm willing to walk there for miles for that. Keep it at the $5 it is, leave it alone, and you'll get more customers that way than you hiking the prices up the times when you know people are going to need to eat. That's just disgusting.
You know, excuse me, my concern is this. And I've been saying this to Shantees for quite some time. There's no loyalty to your customers. You don't care nothing about the people. All you want is the dollar. No loyalty whatsoever. For you to already make your money, but yet you devise a plan, and you figure what? You've given us a year's warning to, you know, to tell us that this is going to be your new pricing plan. Who does that? Who does that? Who already makes their money, and yet you are going to, like it has been said, you're going to wait to the time when to peak hours to charge people exorbitant amounts of money for the same service, the same food? It is what? What? Your rent, it does not fluctuate like that. So there's no loyalty to customers anymore. You know, and again, I say, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Ask Sears, ask JCPenney, ask all these stores that were there for 50 or so years, and then because of, they no longer are in, they're no longer in existence for greed. For lack of customer care. If that's the way you want to go out, then go out. And I honestly believe that the boycotting of any establishment that treats us like that needs to be handled like that. So make it happen the way you have been. If you're going to increase your prices, then just increase the price. Put up another 50 cent or whatever you're going to do and just leave it there. So people don't have to guess when they walk the door, oh, what day is it, what time is it, what hour is it, what, you know, is it midnight to 2 in the morning, or is it 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon? That's just too much. That's just too much. People want to eat, spend their money, and be out. That's it. And now, you know, because you're greedy, this is what you do. So I say get what you, they gave us a year. They gave us a year. Master your own strawberry lemonade. In the house, figure out how you gonna make it work, so you don't have to, you know, long for their strawberry lemonade or their square burger or anything else, and just leave them alone, because enough is enough already. Again, another enough is enough. Well, we're gonna salute 17-year-old Kamora Freeman, as well as Miss Bessie Coleman. You know, it's a lot to be said for the women. Who, I mean, God has really, really, really allowed them to accomplish something great. 17-year-old Miss Freeman is the youngest African-American pilot, licensed pilot. So, you know, big ups to them. Thank God for their achievement. And you know what? Just, you know, a way of seeing I can. She's been at this since she was 15 years old. I can, and I can as long as God is doing his perfect work in me. Amen. Well, we have our wow story, in my opinion. We have this teacher who was hired as a special ed teacher who is teaching chemistry, brought the swords to school, so they could focus on some kind of twisted focus. And now a child is cut, can't use her hand or wrist, permanent damage, and mom is suing. Oh, brother. Shatis, what say you?
When are they going to start screening these teachers for real, for real, for real? What part of, and as I was hearing the story, I thought about my niece, I think, 2 school years ago. And after school, they were playing, she told me they were playing some game. She came home with a scratch on her forehead. It wasn't, a huge scratch. It wasn't bleeding. But nonetheless, a scratch, and we could tell that it was fresh. So, we just asked, well, what happened to your forehead? So we were in after school, and we were playing some game. And the name of the game raised some eyebrows. So we were like, what game is that? Because that don't sound like a school game. That sounds like a game you play when all the kids is left at home and the parents ain't saying, you should go, okay, now we can play it because they ain't here. I forgot the name. And the game was there was a killer and you chased the other kids around. Now, again, this is an after school in the school building with people governing them who's supposed to be older than them, right? There's a killer and you chase the other kids around with a knife. And I think something like whoever got stabbed lost, well, obviously. And they're in there playing this game, and somehow she gets scratched with this so-called rubber knife. So my first question was, how rubber was this knife if you were able to get scratched? So already I was ready to go to the school and literally fight because my whole thing was, are one of the peers in charge of the after school? Because then that would make sense. But if you're telling me that it's someone who's older than you in age, obviously not mentality, then there's a serious problem here. Why are these things being introduced and allowed into the school? How were you able to get the swords in there? So no one saw you walk in with these swords, or someone did and either just said, oh, that must be a part of the curriculum. What? If I'm working in a school and see a butcher knife, if I saw one of the lunch ladies with a butcher knife, I think there's a problem because, from my knowledge, the lunch comes prepped already. So y'all ain't in there cleaning no chicken, no nothing like that. So there should be no knives on the premises as far as I'm concerned. But now you're walking into the general entrance with a knife, a sword, a spatula, whatever. No one saw this. Only the students in the classroom saw this. So now you pull the swords out. I'm not blaming the kids because I was a kid before. I could see us easily sitting in this classroom. And the teacher's saying, go ahead, and a bunch of the students are like, oh, yeah, let's do this. They need to screen more. That's horrible. And I'm not sure if Vivian said he got fired or something, but that needs to happen indefinitely.
Well, Vivian, New Mexico has their new way of teaching. Bring the swords to school. What say you?
Crazy. Throw the whole school away. That's crazy. That's crazy. And it goes back to what I was saying before about how these teachers are just throwing up their hands. You had the teacher in there that had the kids fighting and recording them, didn't do nothing about it. It's just getting so bad in these schools. So they just don't care. Because there's no way in the world you thought that you could bring these swords in the school, have these kids fight. Nobody was going to find out. Nobody was going to get hurt. You just didn't care. And they said that it was recorded. And that the teacher was found in the video laughing, having a jolly old time watching these kids sword fight in the school. They don't care anymore. They don't care about these kids. They don't care about any consequence. They just don't care. They're going to go in these schools, make whatever money they can make, and that's all that they really care about at this point. It's sad.
Wow. Maybe the special ed teacher needed to be in a special ed class herself because that's the only thought I have when I think of an adult bringing a, forget about it being a teacher, but an adult bringing a sword into an arena where there are children and then putting the swords in the children's hands. Again, the deterioration of care in this world. And where do you go from here? That's my question. Where do you go from here? You know, years ago, the church used to help. Church ain't doing what it's supposed to do. School, the teachers used to help. The teachers are not doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, you really, again, I've said it for a long time, there's an official war on our children. And if you do not accept the Lord that will cover your children, you really, really, really are gambling, sending your kids out to school. Because this stuff is getting worse. It is getting worse. And, you know, it's just unthinkable that it would be okay to bring a sword to school and let the kids sword fight. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank God there were no lives taken. Oh, boy. Well, thank you, ladies, for just indulging me on our socially conscious news. And I had a topic today. I have a topic. And it's ways to tell if you have a hard heart. And this was really appropriate for this particular segment. Because everywhere you look, it's just something about your heart is not in its right place, whether we're talking about the man who was banking at least 12 grand a month, whether it was, you know, it's the migrants who were just attacking everybody they can, whether it's, you know, Wendy's organizers and owners who don't care anything about their customers, whether it's the teachers. The heart is not where it needs to be. And, you know, we need to assess this heart at all times. And there's a few ways that they've listed that we can assess whether our heart is in the right place. And one of the first things they say is you don't feel like talking to anyone. I see that here in our list here of news. Shantice, you get the ball rolling on this one. You know, a way of assessing whether you have a hard heart is the fact that you don't feel like talking to anyone.
Yeah, you want to isolate yourself because you don't want to be bothered. So you're not allowing God to open you up to speaking to others that will actually help you, because there are times when you're going through it or you don't realize you're going through it, and God may say, I want you to go and speak to so-and-so. And while you're talking to them, ministering to them, encouraging them, God is also giving you the words that you need to hear for you. But if you're hardening your heart, and that means you're shutting down, now not only are you interfering with being a blessing to someone else, but you're interfering with being a blessing to yourself. So it's like you end up hurting yourself anyway. But when you don't want to speak to people, you're just like, okay, I'm shutting down. I don't want to be bothered. I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like helping. And a lot of that's really what you're saying. You know, I'm hardening my heart because I don't want to help anyone else. And we have to be really careful about sending that message to God.
All right. Nice start. Vivian, you know, they say you don't like talking to anyone. And there's many ways you can go down that road. They're giving quite a few different ways you can, you know, shut yourself down from talking to anyone. What do you say about this point?
I think it's a good point. I definitely think that when you get into that mode, you need to start some self-reflection of why you're not willing to talk to anybody, why you don't have a desire to talk to anybody. Sometimes that is how people do, you know, handle things. They just like to take a moment, be by themselves, and just, you know, whatever they do, whether it's praying or, you know, however people handle it when they go by themselves. But you definitely need to, you know, pay attention to that. If it's not that, you know, this is, I want to, you know, retreat and I need to think about this thing before I say anything or whatever the case is. If it's because of, oh, I don't want to hear what nobody has to say, I don't want to be corrected, you know, what, if it's anything like that, then, you know, you got to pay attention to your heart posture. I definitely think it's a good point.
All righty. The next point. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. That's one way they say you can tell you have a hard heart. Everyone's advice seems bad to you. Shantice.
Because I don't want to hear nobody making sense when I'm ready to shut down. What do you mean the sky is blue? I want to say it's pink. Don't try to tell me that it's blue because I just don't want to hear any logic. And when we shut down in more ways than one. We think we shut down only in this area. No. It's just like when God says an unstable man becomes unstable in all his ways. You become slow in every area of your life where you harden your heart because now you're not allowing God to get you back to being sober-minded. So now everything, all of the illogical things, and if you know of someone who is like they're always talking backwards, you know, it's like, okay, so this is how we normally, it's like we read from left to right, but they're so content with reading from right to left. If that's how you are when you harden your heart. You don't want to hear anything that makes sense because now you understand that forces you to now get your thing together. But when you're hardening your heart, you don't want to get your thing together. You just want to stay in that mindset.
All right. Lady Tamika, we're talking about ways to gauge whether you have a hard heart. And one of the points, everyone's advice seems bad to you. What do you say about that one?
Your heart being hardened, it's ironic how close the body is, and it causes your ears to shut. You know, you believe what you believe, your conviction is your conviction, and it causes you to close doors to sight, things that are right in front of you, hearing things that could help you, and feeling the right way. And it causes you to close off all of the avenues that should be open to you. You know, it's ironic that the body does things, but it's not just the body. It happens first in the spiritual realm, and then you react in the physical realm.
All righty. Vivian, everyone's advice seems bad to you.
When everybody is saying similar or the same thing, 10 times out of 10, you're the problem. So everybody you go to, nobody's making sense, it's time to self-reflect. It's time to look at your heart posture because there's no way in the world that everybody you go to and there's not one person that can give you good advice or advice that makes sense in your mind. So it's not them, it's you. So you definitely need to pay attention to that.
All righty. Lady Tamika, the next point is you're unable to love anyone. That's how you could tell you have a hard heart.
Well, not only are you unable to love anyone, you react totally different. You know, sometimes the things that you do, your reactions and actions are sour, you know, by, you know, what pain you've had. You know, sometimes you walk with built walls, you know, as opposed to you reacting a certain way, your responses are off because you can't, you know, you don't feel right. So, of course, you're not acting right. You know, you're not thinking right, and your reactions are sour and off.
All righty. Vivian, you're unable to love anyone.
Yeah, that's a big red flag. That's a big red flag. And that's the first part. That's the first place my head went to, too, is the walls that we put up. You know, we've been hurt or we've been, excuse me, you know, when we've been hurt, we put up these walls and now we don't allow ourselves to show love or to be caring to other people because of the way that we've been treated. That's a definite red flag that we need to pay attention to. When you can't get out of your own way to be loving and caring to those around you.
All righty. Shantice, your heart is hard, they say, when you're unable to love anyone.
Yes, again, when you're shutting down because you're hardening your heart towards the responsibilities that come with someone loving you. You now offering those gestures and feelings back. Again, you're shutting down from really receiving everything that you're hardening your heart. So you're hardening your heart because someone has hurt you or because you feel like someone did you wrong unjustly. And now God is sending the remedy, but now you're blocking the remedy because now you don't want to reciprocate. Because I'm just so hurt that, you know, I don't want to put myself out there and then get hurt like that again. So now I'm just blocking everything. Really dangerous.
All righty, ladies. You can't get happy for anyone's success except your own, Vivian. They say this is one way to indicate that you have a hard heart.
Yeah, if the only thing that matters to you is your success and where you're going and you can't be happy for the people that you care about, you definitely need to figure out what's going on with your heart. You definitely need to figure out what's going on with yourself. If you become a hater to that extent that nobody else's success matters if it isn't your own, you got to figure out how did you get here so you can start healing that. Because that is no way to live where you can't be happy for anybody but yourself.
All righty. Lady Tamika, you can't be happy for anyone else's success except your own.
Mm-hmm. And that just validates what I said about your reaction being sour. Everybody in the room is, oh, such and such, you know, it's got promoted, and you sitting there just as sour can be. You know, you smelling onions, you know, you licking lemons with salt on it, you know, and it's simply because you haven't arrived. You can't, you know, most Christians will celebrate, you know, someone else's, you know, arrival, someone's growth, you know, because even in essence, even when you're applauding them, you're waiting for your opportunity. You're so sour. You can't even applaud somebody else. All you're looking for is your, you know, let me arrive. And in some instances, you're so bad that you'd be willing to step on that person's blessing in order to get your own.
All righty. Shantice, what do you say about that one? You can't be happy for anyone else's success except your own.
Narcissism at its finest. It's all about you. It's all about, I don't want to hear anyone else get any level of accolade or acknowledgement, recognition, credit, because I just want to soak everything up in the room. Because my heart is so hardened towards, again, giving back, showing, doing for someone else. You know, when I show gratitude, when I show recognition, when I'm proud of someone else and I let them know that that's now me giving something to them. I don't want to do that. So I just want to hear about me and keep my heart hardened.
All righty. Good stuff, ladies. Vivian, this is the last round for you. You don't feel anything about stuff you need to be caring about. You feel nothing for anything that's worth caring about. What say you?
We just had this conversation. That's definitely something that you need to pay attention to. When you can't feel happy and happy moments, sad and sad moments, you just at level zero every day, all day. That's something you need to pay attention to. Because God said there's a time and place for everything. And when you don't, when there's just no excitement, no sadness, nothing, that is a big problem. That is a big problem. That is a warning sign that you definitely do not need to ignore. Because that is not the way to live life. Again, that is no way to live life. There has to be moments in your life where you should be excited, especially if you're not on your own. If you are, you know, you have children, you have a spouse, you have people around you, they don't want to be around that. They come to you with good news and you just like, oh, you know, just mellow. If they come to you and they need your encouragement because they're sad and you can't give it to them because you're just so dead, that's something you have to pay attention to. That's not good for anybody.
All righty. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray, Vivian, that you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well. Have a good day, lady.
Thank you. All right. Shatis, you know, we're talking about having a hard heart. And they say that an indicator is when you don't feel anything about some things that you should be caring about.
Oh, my goodness. Listening to people like, oh, I went to the store, and they normally have barbecue chips. I know they have salt and vinegar today. So I just threw everything in the store, and I tried to fight the man. And then I went to another store, and they normally have red dilators, but they only had lemon. And it's like, bruh, but you can't pay your rent. Are we really caring about the flavor of chips and candy now? But you, it's like there is no regard for the real important things. It's like you're only focusing on almost like the things where you feel like, well, I should be able to have control here, so now I'm going to focus on this. But if you just allow God to refocus you, the real important things, he would show you how to have some level of control with it and how to handle things properly. But because you're hardening your heart, you're focused on all of the irrelevant things that make no sense or a difference in how your life or your day is supposed to go. You become so irrational.
All right. You know, the one thing I did like about this article is because they gave us the opposite. They give you the opposite. So when it says you don't feel like talking to anyone, you know, their suggestion is become vulnerable. You know, make sure you talk to people who you consider close friends, family, no matter how uncomfortable you feel. You know, what do you think about that concept, Shatis, when you don't feel like talking to anybody? Just go the opposite direction.
Yeah. I just said to someone a couple of weeks ago, like, I talk a lot, but that's not always because I want to talk. There's a lot of times where I just want to get back in a bed and pull the covers over my head and be like, to hell with today. God, just let me sleep the rest of the day, and God spares, it will be a better tomorrow in the name of Jesus. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to hear my phone ring. I don't want to hear somebody need to talk. I could care less. But God has shown me that in me being open and showing the vulnerability and me having a high level of transparency a lot of the time, again, it's not only helping me, it's helping someone else. And even when I don't want to talk and I start talking, it's a lot of times I start feeling that relief. So you do have to, and I just saw a post on Instagram a few weeks ago that said, it said something like, no, and not something like, it did say, when you don't want to pray, when you don't feel like praying, that's when you need to make sure you pray, because there's something trying to prevent you from praying. And we have to really pay attention to when we have that I don't feel like it attitude. I don't feel like it. Even when it seems like something trivial, seems like something minor, you know, like, oh, I just don't feel like, you know, reading the devotional today. Oh, let me just rush into the day. Or I don't feel like, you know, this problem is at the forefront of my head. And, you know, someone is talking to me and someone just asks, well, how is your day? And you're like, why do you have to ask that? Because now I got to answer. You know, but when you don't feel like doing that, you have to really pay attention as to, well, why don't I? You know, especially if you're someone who you don't have a problem with being open. So you just have to really pay attention to it.
All righty. When they get the point, everyone's advice seems bad to you. The opposite is humility. How do you see that as being the opposite?
Because it's a lot of pride. If I'm feeling like everyone's advice is bad, that's me saying everyone's advice is wrong and can't nobody tell me nothing. But when you allow God to show you, you know, you're wrong, and I'm giving them more insight to now share with you, that's where the humility comes in. I don't know everything. Or what I could be feeling and thinking might make sense, but God is saying, not compared to what I'm giving you. So you have to really make sure you're eliminating that pride so that you can show the humility towards the advice that God is giving you.
All righty. Let's see the next point. You're unable to love anyone. Well, they say the opposite of that. How you combat that is honesty. Interesting. How do you see this as being the opposite to not being able to love anyone?
We went through a couple of times here on the broadcast about loving people who are difficult to love. And I know from my experience, with humility, same with humility and a level of gentleness, when you're honest with the person, like, okay, you get on my nerves. Like, I don't mind talking to you. I don't mind. But you get on my nerves because. Like, you're making this difficult because. And when you do that with a level of gentleness, it opens the eyes of the opposite person. You know, because it's like, oh, well, I didn't know that I was making you feel that. Yeah, you are. So now what are we going to do? Because I'm not saying I'm okay with us not having a friendship or whatever type of relationship. I'm not okay with us not speaking, but you're making this really difficult for me to genuinely love you. So how are we now going to fix this?
Okay. Nice. All right, the next point. You can't be happy for anyone else's success except your own. They say the opposite is admiration.
Yes, not being afraid to give someone their flowers, not being afraid to give words of encouragement and recognition, you know, and being happy for someone. You know, being happy for someone, a lot of the times it inspires you. Oh, so-and-so was able to do that? Oh, I would like to be able to do that or something like that, you know, or, wow, you know what, you showed me that it was possible that I can do. But when you're on the opposite side now, again, you even stunt your growth because now the time that you're using to be bitter and angry and nasty towards them, they could be teaching you something that could be helpful for you.
All right. I might have taught you a little something here. You don't feel anything about the things you should feel. And they say the opposite to combat that is love.
Love everyone. Love everything. You know, even the bad. At first I started saying that just now as a joke. It's like, no, even when people give you advice, you look at them like, what are you talking about? Appreciate that. Appreciate the fact that you have the discernment to understand that that's advice you should not take. You know, but when you're hardening your heart, again, you're hardening your heart towards the wisdom that God is giving you. discernment only comes through wisdom. You can only get wisdom from God. So now, again, you're closing yourself out from the very words you need to hear, from the advice that you need to take. So now you have to make sure you go on the opposite end, and you now just love the fact that God is paying attention to you to bless you with the discernment to understand whether it's him speaking to you or whether it's the enemy speaking to you. And when you know it's him speaking to you, now just be quiet, sit up, and take the advice. And love the advice.
Well, I got to say, Shantice, you've done a fine job this morning. It's just you and I hanging out together. And I give God thanks for all of your contributions into today's conversation. And, again, we pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to take this time to go before the Lord. You know, as Pastor Steph always says, we're going to hold hands and hold hearts, because this is big. This is big. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, and as always, we say nothing to you before we say thank you, because if it were not for your graciousness, if not for your loving kindness, if not for your special love for us, we wouldn't even be in today's conversation, whether we're ministering or whether we're recipients, just sitting back in the cut, just absorbing everything, God. And we thank you for including us into today, because you didn't have to do it. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for allowing us to be on the inside and not the outside. Just thank you for inviting us in out of the rain. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just introducing this topic today, giving us an opportunity to survey our hearts today. Your word says that the heart is deceitful. It has its own mind. It has its own direction it wants to go in. It has its own motives. And I'm so grateful to you today, God, for just allowing us to see this thing for what it truly is. Thank you, God, for us having an article that gave us the flip side. So we didn't even have to worry about figuring it out or thinking of a word. As always, your job is done completely. Thank you, Lord, for every one of us who could hear from you this morning. Thank you for providing an opportunity for anyone who missed this morning's conversation to be a recipient immediately thereafter. Lord, we're so gracious, so grateful to you today. And we pray to Heavenly Father that you just help us. Just help us, God. Help us to get out of our own way. We're asking you, God, to help us to see things for how it truly is, that we would just stop masking, stop wanting to feel good, stop eliminating the truth, stop blocking our own blessing, and just take it. Just take it as it is. Lord, your word says that I chastise those that I love and I call my family. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For those of us who feel like we're always getting beat up, thank you. Thank you. For those of us who always feel like we're getting chastised by you by one direction or another, thank you. Because what is the opposite? That you just leave us in darkness. But your word says that you will transition us out of darkness into your marvelous light. How can we say thank you for that? How can we say thank you for you just having your finger on the pulse of our life? That we're not too arrogant, not too stubborn. We don't close our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our spirits, but we make ourselves available and vulnerable to you. Not to the speaker, but to you. Because we've positioned ourselves that we can hear directly from you, and you've got to use the messenger. How many times did you use the messenger for Israel? How many times? How many messengers did you use for the nation of Israel? So even when we go back in biblical times, we see that you're a God that perseveres. We see that you're a God that doesn't give up. We see that you are a God of your word. We see that you are a God that will rescue us if we position ourselves to be rescued. You have shown that if we are obedient, you will take us to the next level. So, God, you have already shown us who you are, what you can do, and what you intend to do. That you're not just a man of lip service. Thank you. That you don't treat us like the man actually treats us, like our cousins and our coworkers and our neighbors and our parents treat us, but that you are a man of your word and that you will always work toward making a better life for us, but we have to position ourselves to be there, to be a recipient of your blessing. God, I pray that everyone who listens to this broadcast would accept the healing, that the oil would just flow down from heaven into our spirits, and we would just be healed, that we are not positioning ourselves to have such a hardened heart that we cannot receive what you have for us. Some people feel like they're not worthy, God. But you did not bring us here because we're not worthy. That your word says that you don't want anyone to perish. It's us who have stepped away. Us who have moved to a point where we feel like we can't find you, that we can't hear you, that you're not working on our behalf, that we've got to devise our own plan, that we have to reject a plan. All the things that you've laid out for us here today. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the words that you have sent your messengers today. And we pray, God, that everyone who is walking around with your spirit would allow the spirit to direct them. Thank you, Father. And let us say thank you, not with just our lips, but with our actions, that we're obedient because we are realizing that this is a privilege. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, I can't speak for the rest of you, but every day I leave this broadcast, I love God more and more and more. I don't know what you all are learning. I don't know what you all are receiving. I don't know what y'all are thinking. I don't know what's going on with anybody, but I have to tell you that Stephanie is coming off these broadcasts. I am walking in to what God said, that everyone will be healed if you listen to this broadcast, but you must be consistent, and you must do as you're told. I am walking away like that every day. If you're trying to figure out, well, where did she get this stuff from? Or why is she saying these things? That's because the God has given it to me. Every day I'm on this broadcast, God has given it to me. Every day I'm on this broadcast, God has given it to me. Every single day I'm on this broadcast, God has given it to me. Every single day I am on this broadcast, God is every day, every single day I walk away stronger. Every day I walk away proud to know God and proud to know Jesus as my personal Savior. Every day. Every day. Because what I didn't realize was, as the host of this show, I can also be a recipient of what God gave me when he said that everybody who listens to this broadcast will be healed. See, I automatically thought of everybody else. But I got to tell you, God is amazing in my life. And can't nobody tell me nothing about God. Y'all walk around any way you choose to. You can develop your hearts that they are hardened, where you don't feel like you want to talk to anybody because you so self-absorbed in your nonsense. Because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. You become self-absorbed in your nonsense. And I'm talking personal. I've been here. I've been down every one of these roads. So that's why I tell you right now that I love God the way I do, because this is where Stephanie used to be. This is where I used to be. I had to come through every one of these things in order to be able to even speak about it today. So when you don't feel like talking to anybody, that's you. That's your fault. That's on you. That's because you don't want to take advice from anyone, because all the advice seems bad, because your nasty flesh and spirit has decided you don't want to grow, because it hurts to grow. It does. It does hurt to grow. But thank you, God, for the pain. Thank you, God, for the pain. Because I know when I get finished with that pain, I'm coming over from the other side, boy, confident, stronger, and powerful. That's why you hear me talk the way I speak. Because I can't skirt around the words that God gives me from someone else, the word that God gives me from his scripture, the word that God gives me directly. Yeah, when he snatched me up in my collar, it hurts, because it's supposed to hurt. And I thank you, God, for hurting me. Because when you hurt me, you keep me from being hurt by this world. See, I don't nitpick with every little thing. My feelings ain't hurt with every little thing. My feelings, every time you say something to me, I'm not over in the corner crying, and I'm not over worrying. Why? Because I've allowed God to hurt me, so man and this world does not hurt me like that. Some people are like, every little thing you say, it's like, oh, Lord, here we go again. All right, you got to watch what you say. Don't sneeze too hard. Don't cough too hard, because you got to worry about stepping on toes. You better get it together, because God has clearly said, I don't want any cowards. There will be no cowards in my kingdom. And baby, right now, this is the testing ground. Because once God closed your eyes, you were either a coward or you weren't. You ain't got no time to fix it once he closes your eyes. So you need to get it together. You can't love anybody. All the love that God has given you to give, it also goes with you can't take any love. You can't accept any love. Because there's always an angle. And because it hurts. Again, there's that pain. Because in order to accept love, you're going to have to accept some things you just don't want to hear. You're going to have to accept some things that you just didn't want to know. Because, see, when God loves, he's thorough. He's going to give you some pain, and he's going to give you some comfort. And I say thank you for the pain. I accept it. So that love thing where you can't love anybody, because it actually goes along with you can't receive any love either. You're only hurting yourself. You can't be happy for anyone else's success. Let me tell you something. This was one that really, really, years ago, I really struggled with. I really struggled with this one. I would easily say, well, how come that one and not me? How come this happens but not for me? It took me a long, this one I struggled with a long, long time. And I didn't realize it was what it was. But again, I thank God for beating me up. I thank God for snatching my collar. Because it allowed me to see who I was. He had to ask me just simple questions that forced me to answer. See, because let me help you. Let me go back a little bit. I got a couple of minutes. Let me help you with something. When you don't want to talk for, when you don't want to talk to anyone, you also don't talk to God. When you don't want to hear from anyone, that advice from anyone, you don't want to hear God's advice. When you are unable to love, you can't receive God's love. You can't give God's love either. And when you can't be happy for someone else, what that's also saying is, because I always tell you there's two ways of saying everything, when you can't see yourself happy for someone else, then what you're also saying to God is, I'm unhappy with where I am, with what you've given me. And God had to deal with me on that one real heavily. Real heavily he had to deal with me on that one. And you don't care about anything, about the stuff that you really need to care about. And that goes again with God. You don't care about nothing of the Lord. So stop fooling yourself. Let me just break your heart right now, because, again, God didn't have to deal with Stephanie on all of these things, so I'm going to help you right now. Stop kidding yourself. Stop lying to yourself thinking that this is not you. If one of these things you're walking in right now, this is you. Because, see, this is like the Ten Commandments. When you do one of these things, you didn't do them all. So you need to check yourself. An unstable man is unstable in all his ways. When you don't feel like talking to anybody, you don't feel like hearing anything from anybody, good or bad. You don't want to talk and love anybody. That gets turned off as well, which means that you can't be happy for anybody else, which means you don't care about nothing, because now you become numb. Oh, it all works in tandem. So, get them hearts together, because we don't know, we have no idea when God is going to close our eyes. And we really need to make sure that we didn't got this thing together where we can be accepted into the kingdom. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the ladies, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship in the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it is Therapeutic Thursday. Until then, I love you.